This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hate doing cardio?
Try brushing and flossing your teeth.
I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Happy, the ball itself has its own energy, or life force, if you will. Its natural environment is in the home, so why don't you send them home?
It's Mike Shope.
Why didn't you just go home? That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
And the Bulldog.
That Happy Gilmore, he's a real crack up, isn't he? I mean, he's a hoot. You know, what was great today, one of his fans mooned me, and had Happy written on his ass. Ha on the one cheek, and then... sure enough, PPY right there in the other.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Happy learned how to putt. Uh-oh.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Sure enough, has the transformation of this tournament from the British Open to the Open Championship become complete? Now it feels almost unnecessary to use championship, like the Open. But you have the U.S. Open problem. And that always was the Open. I don't know. I feel like everybody has moved over, which is fine. I mean, that's their name. It's been a while. I think everybody has moved over to the Open Championship or the Open. I don't want to have to explain it every time. Just want to have it be short and sweet. Well, this is a major. And on this show, that means it's time again for the Pick 10 Bet. Every Wednesday before a major, we take turns, myself, Bulldog, and Brian Koziol, picking 10 names at different odds to take down, in this case, the Claret Jug. What's better? Brian is with us on the Wester Hotline, out fresh from the Porter Cup. Brian, would you describe yourself as fresh?
I would say... fresh is the exact opposite. My shirt is still kind of drenched.
And, yeah. What is the opposite of
I'm
fresh?
Exhausted from walking nine holes. But, kudos to the players today. My goodness. I mean, some of them even carrying their own bag up at Niagara Falls Country Club, and all the staff up there for getting day one going smoothly in the, I'll call it, oppressive heat. It was fun to walk and watch when I was under a tree and in the shade, but man, in the sun, it was rough.
I think oppressive is fair. And joining us from somewhere other than Niagara Falls Country Club is the Bulldog from his vacation. And what are the conditions there, wherever you are?
The conditions are the beer is cold right now. I'm on a patio near you. I don't know what that really means, because, like, you know, people say that, but, like, it's yes. Hurdle Avenue. I don't know, you know, if you're near Hurdle, then I'm near you. Anyway, this is an endorsement, not that, you know, no one knows this, but the restorative power of the ice cold shower after walking 18 this afternoon at Delaware Park. I feel like $1 million, but I've been home and showered, and I've got a cold beer in front of me. Sounds like Brian has that in his immediate future, and that will be good for him, I'm sure.
Yes,
good
and
advice.
I'm
gonna do that.
I'm all lame here in the studio, which you know,
you're
at home.
Vacation.
You're on vacation at home, which is, you know, that's one way to do it. Okay, so Brian, set us up. Final major of the year. It's been, as we know from this game, the big names, at least until J.J. spawned, but he was still pretty highly ranked. The stars have been winning majors here. What do you see this week?
Yeah, I mean, we had McIlroy and Scheffler and then Spawn, but good storylines at good courses. And now we shift to Royal Port Rush, which is drawing rave reviews. It's only the third time that they've hosted the Open. 1951, I won't quiz you on that. 2019, an Irishman won it. Who's got it?
Lowry.
Lowry, yep. Shane Lowry. And then, of course, now 2025. It's the only venue outside of Great Britain that has hosted the event ever. It had done a major renovation prior to that 2019 event, and players just absolutely love it. I mean, beyond what St. Andrews is about with the history of golf and all that goes with the, you know, the town and all that sort of stuff, it seemed as though, oh, if players were going to say which one is their favorite course in the rotation, it seems as though this one is a popular answer. It's kind of a bigger setting because of the renovation, so a little bit more space in between holes, which makes it a little more prettier on TV. And it's the fewest bunkers. So I know that's one thing that's usually that we always, you know, get to see quite a bit is those pot bunkers. Now, the bunkers in this tournament and with true link-style courses are supposed to be more penalizing than what we see in the United States set of courses. So landing in a bunker this week is actually not good. I know in a lot of majors we hear, oh, they'd rather be in the bunker than in the rough. Not the case. Yes, there are still penalizing bunkers here this week, but it's the fewest bunkers in the open rota in terms of the location. So yeah, and the last time not only did Lowry win, but the last time here, probably the guy that again is drawing the biggest headlines, Rory McIlroy, did not handle going home to Northern Ireland very well, where he kind of said he tried to like shut the door on all the attention and all the embracing and all the folk, you know, fans and folklore getting after him. And he hit his opening tee shot in round one out of bounds, went on to shoot a 79, and then had that historic charge on day two to try to make the cut. He shot a 65, missed it by one. But he said he's taking a total 180 approach this year. He's soaking everything in and trying to really embrace everyone that's been supporting him throughout his golf life and all of his Irish fans that are coming out to support him. So we may see a little different McIlroy this week, who came off of a second-place finish last week at the Scottish Open. So he's playing well, at least in this last tournament out.
Bulldog, Rory McIlroy, have you considered him?
the second favorite
yes.
On the board? Yes. Playing in his home country. Yeah, I have given him some consideration.
Okay.
Yes.
And Lowry.
They're both going to be. I'm a very, very UK heavy and Irish heavy. I'm going with the home home field advantage, I think.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
As it turns out, yeah.
Interesting. Yes, and Brian, well done. Northern Ireland is not part of Great Britain, but it is part of the UK. So we want to all make sure we know that. That's what we've got here. Do I remember correctly that the scores at this place last time were super low?
Lowry finished at 15 under.
Okay, yeah.
So,
well, that's pretty low.
Now, he did have a pretty big gap to second, which was Fleetwood, which was 9, and Finau 7. So if you want to call Lowry a little bit of an outlier, go ahead. But, I mean, second and third were 9-under and 7-under. That's probably around where a lot of the majors are, minus the U.S. Open. If we're talking PGA and we're talking Masters, that's probably, you know, around that 9-10-under score. Seems to be, like, the average, I guess, if I was going to pick. So, yeah, Lowry handled it really well. In fact, he actually was 1 over par in his final round. So he actually kind of cruised to victory. There wasn't much drama with this one. But, I mean, the names that you mentioned, Bulldog, about, you know, taking heavy European players.
Yep.
I mean, Lowry won it. Fleetwood second. I mean, at the time, Westwood fourth. McIntyre sixth. Willett and Hatton sixth. Rahm 11th. So, I mean, these guys that we feel like, you know, when you think about who plays great at these link-style courses, They all, you know, a decent amount of them obviously fared well the last time it was at this course in 2019.
Yes. I saw an amazing stat about the greats and the British Open, the Open Championship, on Golf Channel today. So average finish for, I think, their entire careers. Average finish in this tournament. Tiger Woods, how many times did he win it, Brian? Maybe three? Something like that?
Yeah, I think three sounds right.
His average,
three or four, yeah.
Three or four. His average finish at the Open Championship, 18th. So, I mean, there are a couple of memories in here of Tiger, like, having a nightmare round in bad weather over there. But, you know, Tiger Woods, average finish at the British Open.
You were right, by the way. Three. Three times.
18th. Yep. Rory McIlroy's average finish in this tournament, 37.3. I mean, he's won it. But his average finish is 37.3. And so most of the greats, their numbers are kind of around Tiger's number. Nicholas, Brian, 18, I think it was 18 Open Championships, his average finish, third.
Wow.
Wow. 3.2. Like, he just maybe, wow. I wonder what his worst was, to have an average of 3.2 for his career at that tournament. I'm pretty sure it's every year he played, maybe not, 61 to 80, I think I saw.
I don't want to say this without letting everybody know. I feel like I just kind of remember it, but I feel like, did he go in the 70s where he was top three or top five in every single Open, like, for the decade straight? I don't know, something like that.
It almost sounds like
that has to be right.
Well, you know? That's true, yeah. That average to be that what it is.
Where's a 60th? What would that do to the average? You know, if he just, like, kind of, like, you get all the time from even the very best guys. They're just sort of, they make the cut, but they're not really a contender. Yeah. So
here, just to back it up, Nicholas won the Open twice in the 70s, both of them at St. Andrews. And he finished in the top five in every single Open Championship during the 70s. That is amazing.
That is amazing.
That is amazing.
Yes.
That is dominance that is.
We agree. Watson won in 75 in his debut, I think. That was 1 year. All right, so Bulldog, tell us what you're thinking here. I've got some odds. Yours might be a little different.
Well, I checked this morning, and I saw the top three were Scotty, Rory, and Rahm.
Yep.
And Rahm, I think, was a distant third in the odds. Doesn't matter to me. I'm leaving him off. So I don't think there'll be any controversy, unless things have changed since this morning, if there's some development I haven't seen. I'll take Scotty and Rory up on the top half pay tier. You know, nervous as always about Rory, but I'm encouraged to hear Brian's explanation of his mindset coming in, trying to do it differently than he did the last time it was there. And I don't know, like, how this year, like, he's had, you know, obviously the incredible glory and then some bitter disappointment, and I don't know, some maybe out of character for what we think of him, you know, just not talking to the media and being just kind of surly. So I'm a little worried about where his head's at, but I'm going to take him because I just can't deny the compelling storyline of him and, you know, this golf course and in that country. I feel it would just be stupid to not take him. So I guess I believe he can win it and keep his head together. And Scotty, to me, is just Scotty. Like, yeah, it's almost, to me, you know, you don't have to, but I feel like I have to take him. So those are going to be my two there. And then, again, I don't think there'll be much problem here. The mid-tier, I've got six guys in the mid, which means I'll have a couple down below that I think are well clear of 20. But in the full pay tier, I will go with DeChambeau, Fleetwood, who Brian mentioned there, was good the last time this was played there. I'm going to take Oberg, just because I feel like until he does win one, he's going to be a very popular choice for, you know, a player who's due to win one. He's got the game and all that. So I like him. I'm going to take Lowry, defending champ, Irishman, like the flow of that. And then I'll take Patton and McIntyre to close out that that mid-tier, full-pay tier. And then on the double end, I'm going to take Adam Scott and Justin Rose.
How many?
Both to me seem to me, very capable of winning, and I've had moments this year. I mean, Justin Rose was fantastic early this year. Was that the Players when he took no, that wasn't the Players. That was Rory with Spahn.
Masters.
Oh, the Masters. Rory, yeah, right. So I like both of them as just sort of sneaky, you know, it's the Open Championship. There, yeah. I said it. I don't feel inclined to say British Open at all anymore. Mm-hmm. And hearing you explain yourself at the beginning of this segment is when I realized it. I don't think it was a conscious decision, which is how those things, I think, should work. Like, it becomes the vernacular, and it's accepted, and you just go with it. And I don't feel funny now saying the Open Championship. I feel funny saying the British Open.
There it is.
Anyway, there's my Brit-heavy team.
Yeah, really? Like, how many Americans?
Yeah.
One?
Scheffler, I think that's it. Yeah. That's it? Just Scheffler? Oh, DeChambeau, too.
DeChambeau.
DeChambeau's American, right?
Yeah. Yes.
That's it. Yeah. Two out of ten.
So American.
Yeah. Well, Rose played well last week. He finished sixth at the Scottish Open. And Adam Scott did. Remember, he actually was tied for the lead at the U.S. Open during that rain delay piece. And then he
fell apart. You know, what happened there?
Yeah, he did down the stretch.
I mean, I know how hard it was and weather and everything like that. But that was the guy you kind of thought might, because of his experience, be the one who would hold up. And he fell apart in that back nine.
Yeah, him and Burns just did not handle coming back out. And then I think were they paired together? It wasn't really good for either of them, obviously. The only name that I feel like that Bulldog did not take that I guess I would like to get his comment on, Mike, unless
Let's
you
go.
Want to add into this.
Please, no,
is
please.
Is Schauffele, who's the defending champion, who finished eighth last week. So, he obviously is a quality player, and he's ranked third in the world. So I was just curious as to why no Xander.
I don't like his face, Brian. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. You know, he and Scotty both this week have made comments that have, I think to varying degrees have made the rounds. I don't know if both of you guys have seen them, but you know, Scotty went really deep on the satisfaction of winning, and I was sort of nodding along to that. And then I saw something from Schauffele this morning. And even though it was like a similar sentiment, I was just like, nah, I'm not picking you. I don't know. If he were one in the world, I probably would have taken him and left Scotty off. But I don't know. It's just, you know, sometimes your own personal mindset when, you know, whatever you're thinking about when you see something like that can affect how it lands on you. And so I'm penalizing Schauffele for feeling the same way Scheffler feels.
I haven't talked about the Scheffler. And by the way, thanks for asking, Brian, but I'm getting enough airtime this week. So, you know, happy to have you go. I want to talk about the Scheffler comments. They're really interesting. He seems like a kind of a tough guy to please, if that's not unfair. I understand it. Talking about how, like, even when you win, it only lasts a couple seconds, and then you're on to the next thing. And he's talked about legacy in an interesting way before. It's like, yeah, what something to the effect of.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In 100 years, nobody's going to know anything about this or care at all. Like, it's just very, very kind of dry and almost sad, almost. But I don't mean that to judge them negatively.
Right, yeah. I feel like you could definitely take a sadness from both he and Shoffley's comments. But I don't know, maybe it's just my age. I appreciate that these are guys who are – you know, at or near. I mean, Scotty's one. What did you say? Shoffley is third in the world, Brian. Yep. They're at the top of the heap of this sport, but yet they, assuming they're being honest here, which I am, they're sounding like it's not the most important thing in the world all the time. Like it is when you're in it, but they know enough to not have it mean more than it should. And I really appreciate that perspective because I think, you know, we can tend to over-dramatize the clutch guys and the guys that come through and the winners. And, I mean, think about the comments both of these guys have made through the lens of Tiger and what he sounded like 15 or 20 years ago about this kind of thing. I mean, it was blood sport, ruthless. Like, that was all that mattered. And, like, he's got the hardware to back that up. But I don't know, I appreciate the, you know, stop and smell the flowers of the things that aren't necessarily golf related aspect of what both guys are talking about.
Good point about Tiger. He's like, I didn't come here to finish second. It was winning was it. I feel like in golf, you can get away with sharing this publicly. In other sports, football would hate you. Football would ostracize you if you dared say like, this wasn't the most important thing in your life. I think you get that from pre-draft interviews and stuff where the guy, you hear that the prospects have to be convincing that they live for this. And I think it's a strike against to many scouts if you don't.
Yep.
But golf, you don't have to answer to that.
Yeah, we're kind of having a bit of a reckoning. I mean, we've got like the tennis. There's the player on the men's side whose name is escaping me who talked about feeling very alone at Wimbledon last week. And then Anisa Mova, obviously, her story has been well-documented. And, like, mental health amongst the solo performers. Like, of course, they've got these teams of people that are helping them do everything. But somewhere, at some level, all these people, Anisa Mova, Scheffler, Shoffley, all know that those teams of people depend on their performance, you know? And it's just a very unique kind of pressure that really doesn't exist in the same way in team sports.
Yeah. Osaka, yeah, I mean, famously, too, in tennis. Brian?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and I think, was it Zverev from Germany that's
yes,
made those
that's
comments?
It. That's it, Zverev. Yes. Thank you, yes.
Yes. I think, too, and I think Scheffler did elaborate this in that awesome five-minute kind of soundbite that you're referring to. I mean, golf is 150 players and one guy wins. So, like, that mindset of how you handle that, I always feel like is so difficult. I mean, you know, tennis in some sense might be a field of, you know, a bracket of 64 or 128 or whatever. Like, again, one only wins in the end. But for golf, like, how do you judge success when the odds of you winning on a weekly basis, if you assume that everybody in some sense has some sort of an equal chance there? I mean, we're talking less than 1%. How do you view that as success? Team sports, somebody always wins, right? It's one or the other. So, like, it's I don't...
Right.
How these golfers and these tennis players, to me, like, I give them a ton of respect because you're leaving your tournament or your event virtually every time losing. And how you, and I still, and if I said this on the air with you guys, I apologize for repeating it, but I love a quote from Roger Federer. He said it in a graduation commencement speech. He said, you know, I won arguably 80 some percent of my matches, but he said within the game, within games or within matches, I only won 54% of the points. And he says the best players in the world at any, know that they're going to lose and how to deal with it. He's like, I'm going to lose essentially half of these points in every match I play. Like, how do I deal with it? And he's like, he thinks that the elite players, I mean, I love the way he described it. He goes, the elite players know how to lose. And I'm like, that doesn't sound right, but I get what what he's saying. Like, you know, you can have an amazing week at this golf tournament and finish 10th. And you're like, well, was that a good week or was that not a good week? I guess if you're Scottie Scheffler, we would label it as not a good week. But
baseball is great for this, too, because they lose 60 games, the best teams. Interesting stuff. All right, Brian, so who are we going to root for other than, like, everybody, including the 70 completely obscure European Tour players that we'll see them make a birdie and we're just going to scream with joy all weekend? I'm looking forward to a lot of that.
Yes. Now, in terms of the who, I'll dodge the who and say the what. I always root for at least one day of weather havoc at the Open. I always want to see, like, you know, where maybe the umbrella is getting turned inside out and it's a little windy and things like that.
We could get four here.
There's a chance of rain every day.
Yep.
So I don't know exactly if that means it's going to be a disaster or, but, you know, just, I mean.
It's a little bit of a disaster. Like, would be good.
50 to 70% chance of rain every day, temps in the 60s. So I don't know. I mean, you get a little good wind and good little rain coming down. I don't mind it at this event. So I'll throw one name out that I picked on Tee to Green last week that I like, that's kind of I'm not calling it a long shot, but down the board a little, is Sepp Straka, 50 to 1, seventh last week, has had two wins this year on tour, European Tour player who plays links really well. So I'll just throw one name out there if anybody else wants to throw a long shot bet, Sepp Straka.
And he's American, right? So, or is he?
Austrian.
Whoops.
Yes.
There I go again. All right, Bulldog, safe travels getting back from your vacation. I'll look forward to seeing you on Monday.
I will do the same. I look forward to seeing Brian at their Duster Challenge on Friday evening out at Glen Oak. Owen and I are going to play there in the afternoon, and it should line up just right for us to be available for that, Brian. Thank you for bringing it to my attention and encouraging us to take part in it.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Should be a good night, and the weather looks perfect on Friday, which for us is a big part because we don't have any control of that. So
good for you too.
Yeah, enjoy your few days off. We'll see you Friday.
All right, and Brian, I'll talk to you tomorrow at some point.
Sounds great. Thanks, Mike.
All right. The Open Championship. Bulldog's pick 10 is out. I'm sure he'll tweet it. And here we go. It really, I say it every time. I don't know if I ever need to, but it's a bet game that provides way more fun than it seems like it should for what it is. Because while John McEntee, who's 5 over, makes a birdie, it's unreasonable to be too excited about that. But hey, it's a step. You never know. That U.S. Open was incredible for the swings. And like, when was it Spahn's tournament? It could have been Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Sunday, bogeys the first 4 holes. You've got Burns, who's kind of flawless that week. You've got Scott and a few other guys that are around, and he just goes and wins. I mean, tracking win probability on these things with this bet, not always. Sometimes it's a runaway and it's just forget it, but can be crazy. So I recommend it. Get two friends or whatever, one. So one person picks 10 names for the winner. We built odds into it a couple of years ago to make it more tempting to pick long shots. It's only worked a little bit. Anyway, I love it. All right. Thanks for indulging me. 803-0550. This is Mike Shope. Don't forget, Give716.org. Donations continue to look great. And thanks to everybody participating and organizing, and it's been a part of the whole project today. Back after sports, this is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
I'm Emma Grade, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.